It's interesting that this was the only song that I made reference to back in our home church before we came to camp. I had gotten this book some weeks before camp started, and there was something I read in here that interested me and touched my heart as I read it, and it was the addendum to this song. If you have that, maybe we could read that together. It's on page 18 of these books. Page 18. Everyone have that? If you don't, share with the person next to you. Let's read it together. It is well to remember that an abstract Christianity is neither useful nor beautiful. The value of Christianity is only seen when it becomes a habit of living. The most shapely and beautiful garment loses its symmetry and beauty when it is cast off and laid upon a couch or hung upon a peg. Let it be put on by its owner, and you at once perceive its comeliness. Something like this is true of the religion of Christ. It is not meant to be judged or criticized apart from the lives of men. But when the robe of Christ's righteousness is put on and worn, its beauty is revealed to all beholders. Now, was this attached to the song when it was first published? Or?
Yeah. Published in this magazine called Sunday Afternoon, which is what I edited, wrote an article about this, and then
And so we're encouraged not only to know the truth, as it were, but to live it. And we have Jesus for our example. And I was reminded of the story in John 13. Maybe you want to just turn there with me for a few moments. I think what the song is saying to us, and what we've heard already, is that, you know, as we walk with Jesus along this pilgrim way, He will lead us to people and to circumstances and situations where He wants us to be a blessing, where He wants us to be for Him, where He wants us to show the world what it means to be a Christian, to share His love with those around us. And it might be, as we've heard, things that maybe we've never done before. Are we afraid of that? I think we're all afraid of change. We're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid to step out of what we call maybe our comfort zone. Well, I've never done that before. Well, there's always a first time. And God will help us as we endeavor to live for Him and wear, as it were, His righteousness and be like Him where He's placed us. And so that thought of walking with Him means He's going to lead me to those who need His love. He's going to lead me to situations or people who need to know that Jesus is real. Why? Not because I say it, but because I live it. I demonstrate it by my actions, by what I do. In this chapter, Jesus is preparing to have the Last Supper with His disciples. It was just before the Passover feast when Jesus knew that His hour was coming, or was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end, to the fullest extent. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. It just, with that introduction, it just seems out of place what follows. Knowing all these, I've come from God, I've fulfilled God's will, I'm ready to depart, I'm ready to fulfill this plan. He takes a towel and He goes around, and what does He do? And he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And I can't just help but think that here was something that was very necessary. It was very practical, but it was very necessary. And it was something right there. But no one else had seen or thought that they were worthy to do that. Or maybe they didn't consider it their job to do that. But Jesus, again, by example, he's going to teach them something. He wants them to get it, to understand that it's about serving one another. You want to be great in the kingdom? What do you have to be? Learn to be the servant of all. Do we like that? Naturally, I think we like to be served. We like Sister Edith. Why? Because she serves us. No, we don't. No, we do, but we don't. You know? We like to be served. But you know, I think that she probably has greater joy in serving us than we do in being served. And if we would learn to serve from the heart, you know, I've often said, and maybe I've said it here before, and forgive me if I have, there's a difference between serving and having a servant's heart. You know, we can serve for different reasons. Maybe some are not as so noble. We can serve to be seen by others. We can serve to somehow feel that someday we're going to get a reward, or what do we get out of it? You know, we serve people so that they reciprocate or they give back and we receive something in return. But to have a servant's heart is different. If you have a servant's heart, it doesn't matter if you're recognized, if someone comes and pats you on the back and says you did a great job, it doesn't matter. To have a servant's heart means that no one has to even see what I do. You know, there are things that, growing up in church with my dad, we would do things in church and nobody would even know. But it didn't matter. You know, sometimes they'll even, you hang a big sign in front of church, some people will even know the sign. They'll walk right in and you'll say, did you see us? No, we didn't see that. Or you can clean a window or you can fix something and no one will know, right, Uncle Tom? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we don't do things to be seen. We do it for the Lord. And that attitude has to get into our hearts. And here Jesus, he also wanted to teach them something about humility. About maybe doing things that we don't feel it's not in my contract to do. You ever say something like that? That's really not my job, you know. I didn't sign up for that, Lord. I'll do everything else, but not that, Lord. I remember as a young man, as a camp story. Okay, you like camp stories? And I had been a counselor up in Nonantum, and I would stay sometimes a whole month as a counselor, and then I would stay for Labor Day, and I love camp. And back in those days, I could do that. And so I had finished counseling at camp, and the staff that remained, we all sat around the room, and Brother Gordon was going to give us our assignments for Labor Day. And he said to me, Philip, I want you to stay up in Nonantum and take care of the guests that we're going to put up in Nonantum. In those days, the whole camp seemed to be filled for Labor Day, and we even used Nonantum for the men. And but he said, but your other, and I want you to, you know, as the guests come, you have to greet them and show them that they have to use the basins to wash up in the morning, and that there's no shower, this whole thing. That was my job. I'm the welcoming committee in Nonantum for Labor Day. give them blankets if they need it because they're going to be cold, you know. But then he said, but you have to do one more thing. You have to clean the men's room.
What men's room?
Oh, the one down here. I had to clean the one down here, too. But he said, I know that you're, that'll be okay. And he didn't say this afterwards. He pulled me aside and he said, it's because, you know, you have a little bit of your mother and your father in you. Now I'll let you figure out which parts go with which. And I think it's good for us to learn to do the jobs that no one else would want to do. You know, one of the things that growing up began in our church, if you taught a Sunday school class, you had to be on the cleaning list. You like that? Well, they're teaching Sunday school. What do they have to clean church for? Mm-hmm. If you were a Sunday school teacher, you also had to take your part in cleaning the church, the bathrooms, the rugs, the windows. And why is that good for us? Because we have to learn and be reminded to be humble and to do the little things for Jesus' sake, from the heart, without grumbling or murmuring or complaining. And so here Jesus, he stoops, as it were. Now, don't you think that Peter or one of the other disciples should have said, you know, I'll do that, Lord. I'll do that. You shouldn't have to do that. We don't find any of them doing that. We do find Peter saying, Lord, don't wash my feet, because I think he felt a little embarrassed at that moment. Convicted. Humbled. But Jesus says that I'm doing this to give you, what, an example. I want you to see. I'm not going to be with you always. I'm going back to the Father. But this is how you ought to treat, as it were, one another. Be willing to serve from the heart. Be willing to take the lowly place. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he says, let this mind, or let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And so when we sing a song like this, O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. I'm not compelled. It's not that I have to, but I choose to. I choose to walk with you, Lord. I choose to allow you to lead me this day in paths of service. Bring people into my life that need your love, that need your kindness shown through me. And so are we willing for that? I'm going to give you just one other little illustration, and it's, you might think it's a little bit unusual, and it was at that time. But it's something that made an impact on the people that witnessed it. We were a group of young people. We were in the subway. And we were going, I don't even know where we were going. We were taking a group of young people somewhere in the city. And we got onto a train, and there was a man there who appeared to be intoxicated. He was a rather large man. And being in charge of this group, which included some young ladies, I kind of watched him. And a little bit being protective, you know, I didn't want him to be offensive in any way. Well, we got to a stop, and the trains, and it was his stop, I guess, although I don't think he knew where he was going. But he made to get up and to get off the train. And the train stopped somewhat abruptly, and he fell on the floor. So what do? You ignore him, right? Because he's big and he's dirty and he's drunk. And I didn't personally, you know, like I said, when I got in, I didn't really feel any love for him. I'll be honest with you. I didn't feel any love. He was more of a threat to me than an object of love. So in that moment, I had a choice to make. And I don't think I went through much mental, you know, gymnastics about what I was supposed to do. I don't think there wasn't enough time to do that. But somehow, and I don't even know really what motivated me to do it, I went over to him. And I helped him up. And I told the kids that were maybe, hold the door. Don't let them close the door. And I helped him off the train. Now, and I don't say that to, you know, because I don't really feel that I did anything. And I didn't feel like I did anything great at that moment. I got the guy off the train. Thank the Lord. You know? But, you know, sometime later, it was at a birthday, I guess. They had a birthday celebration for me. And or maybe it wasn't even that. Well, maybe it was then. And they asked this question. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be any evidence to convict you? If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be any evidence to convict you? And you know, that the young people chose that incident as one of the evidences that they thought proved that I was a Christian. Oftentimes we're not prepared for the situations that arise. It's not like we can think and figure it out and decide what we'll do. And that's why it's so important that we've allowed the Lord to create in us the heart of a servant. And it's something that's, I think, a lifelong work of grace that God does in our hearts. And God has to remind us constantly to come down and to humble ourselves, to be like Jesus. And he teaches us these lessons. And camp is a wonderful place to learn to serve the Lord from the heart. It's not always easy. I'm glad that I'm not doing pots. You know, or some other job. That's hard work. That's hard work. But if we could learn to do that joyfully and do it for Jesus, for his sake, that would be an invaluable lesson that we learned. And so at the end of this account, Jesus says to them in verse 12, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? Just one more short little illustration. I'm reminded of a story, I believe, of St. Francis of Assisi. There were other monks or those that were training with him, living with him, and he said to the one, I want you to come with me today as we go preach the gospel. I'm going to go into town to preach the gospel. Do you want to come along? And so the man said, yes, that was a great honor. Yes, of course I'll go with you. And so they got into town, and what did St. Francis do? Well, he walked in, he visited the bakery shop, you know, the baker, and then he visited a woman who had just lost her husband, and they visited all morning, and even into the afternoon, and he turned to the man and said, okay, now it's time for us to go back home. And the man said, but we haven't preached the gospel. And he said, no, yes, we have. All morning. Mm-hmm. In those visits, in those words of kindness that were spoken, we were preaching the gospel. And so I'd like to encourage all of us, as we've heard already tonight, let's just allow the Lord to lead us. You know, we're somewhat challenged in our neighborhood in Williamsburg, where our church is. The neighborhood's changed dramatically over the last 10 years. And so we're faced with this changing community, and how do we minister most effectively to the people that God has placed us among. And you have to go to God and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Because we don't know what to do. And Lord, you open doors for us and give us the courage and the grace to step through those doors in your name. So I thank God for the word that we heard tonight. There's one more verse, though. It says this, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now that you know these things, in the NIV, you will be blessed if you do them. And so may God help us. And he does give us grace, doesn't he, to serve him. And let's make the most of this opportunity. Serve one another. In love, serve. Or by love, serve one another. And ask the Lord to give us his heart, a servant's heart. Whether we're appreciated or not, we do it for him. And we trust that he makes even those little things that we might consider insignificant, that he would take them and use them to bring others to himself. Let's bow our heads. I guess a good place to start is to say, Lord, I'm not like you. In so many ways, Lord, I'm not like you. But Lord, you are changing me. You are doing a work deep within my heart to make me more like Jesus. Now, it's good if each of us in our hearts respond to the Lord. And you talk to him. Lord, make me a servant. Change my heart, Lord. Remove the pride, the selfishness. Give me a heart like yours. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Dear Lord, we come just as we are to you tonight. You see our desire to serve you, to live for you, to be pilgrims. And Lord, you've challenged us tonight. Lord, we do want to walk with you wherever you may lead us. Lord, help us to realize that it's in the day-to-day things, it's in the little things that maybe we don't think are important, but there you want to lead us, and you want to make our lives a blessing. And so, Lord, again, we just want to give ourselves to you. Have your way with us, Lord. And Lord, if there are things within our hearts that need to be changed, I pray, Lord, that we would be honest with ourselves, honest before you. Lord, change our hearts. We believe that you are calling us, and so we want to say yes. We want to respond and say that we're available. So, Lord, teach us the lessons that you want us to learn in these days while we're here at camp, as we have opportunities to serve one another. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to keep the right attitude. Lord, to think the right thoughts, thoughts that are pleasing to you. Fill us with your joy. And give us this lowliness of heart and mind, that we will esteem others better than ourselves. That nothing would be, as it were, beneath us. Lord, help us to be willing to stoop, as you did, and washed your disciples' feet. I ask this so that the world would know that you are real by our lives, that we would wear the garment of your righteousness in our daily lives. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.